You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Streets, and introducing Aaron Hubbard. All right, Jim, are you ready to bring this shit?
I'm ready. I'm back after 68 weeks in hiatus. It really feels like it's been ages since I've been on a podcast.
It has been. It feels like I don't even know you anymore because we can't talk.
We can't talk in real life.
No,
we're saving it all for the cast.
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't talked to you in multiple weeks.
I know.
Since PAX, actually. I've been sick. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm still fighting the good fight.
I am.
I'm trying to keep back the forces of evil in my nose.
Absolutely.
To get through it and cast this week.
Those dark forces.
Yeah, but I'm better, mostly. I'm back in action.
I'm actually in the Bald Tower with you tonight.
We're in the Bald Tower once again.
We're using our equipment again.
We're Aaron-less, though.
We are without an Aaron Hubbard. No Kool-Aid drinking this evening. Or no, that's you.
I guess we are drinking Kool-Aid.
Jonestown. Yeah, Jim Jones. Jonestown Jam, you even have a Kool-Aid, hey Kool-Aid, get symbol.
Oh, that's right.
For another show.
Yeah.
Unless it's you.
I'm going to blame it on the sickness.
Yeah, let's get down with the sickness, by the way.
So yeah, that's
episode,
what I've
been up to. Episode 57.
Yeah. We know we're on to you guys. We know that you don't listen to the end of the cast.
But we're watching you.
And we're watching you. And we know that you don't listen to the end of the cast, so we're going to bring the announcements to the front of the cast.
That's right. You asked for it. No, you
taste
didn't.
It. You didn't ask for it. You implied that you wanted it.
That's what it was.
Yeah. We're doing it. We're doing it to you. This is something you probably don't want.
Let's hurry up
and
screw them.
Until we start getting more feedback.
Don't forget
feedback,
to pull out.
Until we start getting more iTunes reviews. More Twitter followers.
That's right.
More forum participation. We're moving The outroduction. What do you call it? You call it an outro and an intro, right?
I call it an outro.
But it would technically be an outroduction.
Would it?
If it's an introduction.
That's right, but that doesn't mean that the outro ends with the same duction.
You sure?
I'm not sure. I'm not a scholar or PhD on ductions.
Induction.
I just suction.
However, you are.
Yes, definitely. And I can tell the audience more about that because I've been to several gay bars lately. But
oh, that's
we'll
right.
We'll get deeply into that.
Oh boy. So we're bringing it to the front. We have a Twitter account, baldmove.com/twitter/something. I don't know. I've lost it.
If we're bringing it to the front, we might as well be accurate.
Okay. Twitter.com/baldmove is our Twitter account. Go up there. And
tweet.
Sign up, tweet, do whatever you got to do to friend us or follow us or whatever they're calling it these days. We have a Facebook account. You have to go to Facebook and search for Bald Move. We have forums, forums.baldmove.com. A lot of action going on there sometimes. Sometimes it's totally dead. but we need more people in there, so it will never be totally dead.
But then you can just role play. You're in a Fallout universe.
Sure. It's cool. You could do that.
And start to just whistle to yourself.
Can they do that not on a forum?
No, you have to be on a forum.
Oh,
because you expect there to be others, but it's like a ghost town, right?
Gotcha.
So then you bring your tumbleweed, set it in front of your desk, and then blow it across your desk as you're on our forums.
Anyway. Or email us at blueyonder@baldmove.com. Send us some feedback that we will read on the show. And you could possibly get your own segment on the show. One of our listeners has already gotten their own segment on the show, Staffa's Corner. We've got one of those tonight coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be next.
Yep. It's only a matter of you actually putting forth a small amount of effort.
Yep.
Like typing on your keyboard a couple times.
And a very small amount of effort.
Very small.
Very small.
Like Jim's penis.
Very small.
Aaron's penis. He's not here.
There you go.
All right, Jones. Well,
okay.
What's happening, man? What's going on, brother?
Not much other than being sick. While I was sick, you were apparently going to gay bars. Is that...
That is true. I guess I could start out with a quick tale of my last weekend's events. I was given a rare opportunity as a man of 30 years of age with a son that's going on 6 and a girlfriend of 7 years. I don't get out much, but there comes a rare time when the grandmother, my mom, will take the boy. And he happens to be on spring break this week. So she's had him for the last 5 days.
Wow.
And while I've been working throughout that period of time, I've had several days off too. So went out immediately after I worked on Saturday to a gay bar. Like all of our former producers of Power Play. All of our friends are of the gay variety.
The gay variety.
The homosexual variety.
You can't even say it, can you?
What is the PC?
Gay, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, gay, okay.
I'm pretty sure gay is correct. Homosexual.
Same gay. They're gay.
They're gay.
They're gay.
So what?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm just continue. Saying they're gay. Okay. So, they're gay, and they go to karaoke bars. So I went to a karaoke bar and drank a lot and stayed up until 3:30 in the morning. Slept most of my Sunday and spent the day in my underwear. And then did that again Sunday night. And then worked a 12-hour shift on Monday. And then a 7-hour shift on Tuesday. And then did it again last night.
Man.
So, stayed up until 3, drank some Long Island iced teas, sang some karaoke. Voice is a little rough.
Yeah.
Because I like to scream on the mic. I like to get violent.
I saw your tweet that you were singing some Tool and nobody really appreciated it.
That was the first night because we went to less cool clubs the first go round. It was a country gay bar.
Country gay bar.
Actually, it wasn't a gay bar. That's why it was spicy. So uptight. It was a straight bar.
A straight country bar.
Full of country lovers. And I was screaming Anima, from Tool.
Gotcha.
And at the end of the song, I felt like I did a good job and I got positive feedback from the friends we were with. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the bar was pretty much all crickets. Yep. And I can't say that I'm too surprised. I mean, if it's not, Kenny Chesney or, Shania Twain, I don't even know what I was listening to, but it was country.
Tim McGraw.
Yeehaw! People had their cowboy hats and their boots. It was just the full-on country.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Full country experience.
I actually enjoy, I am not myself gay, but I actually enjoyed the gay bars the next 2 nights in a row.
They're probably more wild.
They're not
less inhibited.
They're very comfortable, accepting environment. And they make you feel appreciated. They give a lot more positive feedback. A
lot more free drinks.
Probably, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it feels more wholesome. Aside from the fact that every once in a while I have to see 2 men that I would never like to see kissing.
And your PhD at suction comes in handy.
It does. Every once in a while, I have to help somebody get a bowling ball out of something.
Just call me Dr. Suction.
I don't even know what you're talking about. But, yeah, it was way more fun at the gay clubs. Very much, I guess, energy would be the term.
Sure,
there's
a lot more
positive energy. People aren't so uptight and to themselves. People are intermingling and just a little bit more ready to accept. Even when you do bad, they'll still applaud and give you, they'll give you a positive feedback. Even if you the people that get up there and they sing badly, they still get applause like everybody else.
Okay.
So very cool. Now I have my son back again. I'm going to have to go back into the non-binge drinking, bar hopping myself. To oblivion kind of mode, but it was fun
to you.
Yeah. Oh well. It was fun to taste freedom again.
Yar.
Even though I was tasting freedom in a gay bar, I'm not gay.
does freedom taste any different in a gay bar?
It's a little saltier.
Oh, God. Salty,
anyway, what have you been up
freedom.
To?
Salty Freedom is the name of this episode, by the way.
Salty Freedom.
I've been sick. We talked about that. What we haven't talked about is all the TV that I've been watching while I've been sick.
But we did talk a little bit about how TV is not really TV anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I call it television, but is it really television if you're not watching it on a television?
I don't know, man. I think we're in this hazy, funny area where, like, TV's not really TV now. Because, I mean, what was TV?
It can't be.
What made TV TV in the first place?
The box you were watching.
Because you were watching it, you called the box a television.
The
right?
device became the medium. Yes. Yeah. And now the medium is its own thing. It's separated from the device.
It's different now because I've watched Deep Space Nine on my cell phone in my bed at night and go to sleep watching it. And now I can watch. I watch all kinds of Star Trek episodes on my computer. Mm-hmm. Or from the laptop's HDMI cable hooked to my TV, which actually has no connection to a cable television network.
Yeah, no
or
antenna.
Even an antenna.
Yeah, yeah.
I just jack in the HDMI from the laptop. So am I watching? The only time I feel like I'm watching TV is if it's on a device that's still called a TV, which I still have one. It's my HD set.
Yeah, I don't even have one.
But it almost doesn't feel like TV because I'm streaming it. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, TV is always streamed, right? TV is always, like, classic television is streamed.
Yeah, but it's captured not. Over, you know, it's either brought to you by a coaxial cable in the past or over an antenna. I lived in the hills, so.
Sure, sure.
You know.
I really think it's tied to the device itself. Like, in 100 years, will they still be calling them television shows?
I don't know if they will. That's
Will they call them? What will be the new term for television? Will it be episodic media? I mean, like episodic video?
Serials. Maybe they'll just call them serials.
Serials? But what if it's episodic? What if it's not a serial?
Well, then it's a made for like TV, Friends. Non-TV streamable serial with a toy in the box. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like TV to me unless I'm watching it on a TV set.
Yeah.
If I'm watching a show that's broadcast on a television network on a phone, am I watching TV anymore? I don't think so.
No, I think you're watching a...
I think you're watching a TV show, but you're not watching it on TV.
But when the television no longer exists, which will probably eventually happen, I mean, we'll all have like shit strapped into our brains or something.
Maybe.
You don't call it television. The term television is faded out of memory of society.
Yeah, you can't see it through the snow. You have to adjust the rabbit ears.
So what do you call it? You call it a headgear? Watching the headgear, Mom. Don't interrupt me when I'm watching the headgear.
I just think it's stupid to say that you've been watching a lot of TV when you don't watch a TV.
You're right, I don't watch any television.
But you've been watching a lot lately. What have you been watching?
I've watched absolutely no television, but I have been watching a lot.
Yes.
What
episodes of this serial have you been engaging?
Well, first of all, I can't remember if I finished The Wire before or after PAX and if I've talked about it, but whatever. I watched through The Wire. I wasn't totally blown away like everybody seems to be, but it's good.
What's the show about?
It's strong. It's a... basically a cop drama. It's about drugs and police.
So it's like a real serious, intense drama.
Yeah, yeah, it's very serious. It's definitely like the most realistic television show I've ever seen. And HBO is kind of known for that. They do a lot of realistic stuff. But this, like there is, except for very, very isolated incidents, no music in this thing. So like... Everything is totally understated. I mean, when somebody gets shot and killed, it's understated. Everyone kind of looks at it. You get a very short, brief reaction from them, which is totally not over the top. It's nothing like the typical dramas you'd see on TV. It's just like them grimacing a little bit, and then it cuts to something else.
So it's more realistic?
It, yeah, in my opinion, it feels too realistic. Like, it doesn't have the impact that dramas have on me because there's not enough feeling put into it.
So you appreciate the extra kind of decoration, like an intense soundtrack.
Yeah. It's time tested, right? I mean, people put music into movies and television shows because it adds effect. It adds weight.
We were just talking about laugh tracks earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Laugh tracks do the same thing, except not for drama, for comedy.
Sure.
Yeah. It kind of gets your brain into that space.
Yeah.
And you start going, oh, yeah, you get open to suggestion because your brain says, I should be finding this funny because everybody's laughing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you're more susceptible to chuckle at something that without a laugh track would be like, this is sterile shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so, I would never laugh if Friends didn't have a laugh track.
Right. I think if you're going to extract that element, then you have to have something to replace it with. And that should be, you know, the concept maybe needs to be a higher concept there. Like you're trying to evoke another reaction instead of the old standard, you know, reaction that's brought to them through the music or the track or whatever.
And I mean, they do a pretty good job of it. Like I'm not going to say there's no weight or impact to it, but it doesn't feel as heavy to me as the dramas I see with music. I see with a tiny bit of overacting. Like, not like you would react to it in everyday life.
You would react to it if you were like Jean-Luc Picard.
Well, Jean-Luc Picard would overact it.
What the fuck? Someone spilt my milk!
Prepare for
life is
speed.
But a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then spills his milk no more.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. You want a little bit
I want Picard to spill
his milk.
You want
a little fantasy to it almost. You at least maybe I shouldn't say fantasy. You want a little exaggeration.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of over dramatization just to punctuate the emotion there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I don't feel like The Wire offers that, which is why I like The Shield much better than The Wire.
The Shield?
The Shield, yeah.
Is there a follow-up show called The Sword?
The Sword and The Crossbow, yeah. And the
awesome.
The Tunic.
Which show is better?
The Tunic is by far the best.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got more balls than the rest of them.
Right.
That's for sure.
Doesn't have as many shields to hide behind. The Tunic.
Anyway, so The Wire, I just wanted to briefly mention. The show that I've really enjoyed the most out of all my show watching over the past few weeks has been Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, my God.
And it's shocking to hear me say this.
I'm shocked.
Okay, you're shocked for a different reason, but our listeners are probably shocked because I do not like anime.
They've never heard of it.
They've never heard of it. If you haven't heard of it, why are you listening to our show?
Who are you?
Donald Trump. Stop listening to our show, Donald
Maybe
Trump.
Maybe they're colorblind to anime, which I thought you were.
I thought I was, too. That's the thing.
So what's going on? How the hell can you possibly like Cowboy Bebop? It's an anime.
You're right. It's an anime.
Jim Jones doesn't like anime, so Jim Jones doesn't like Cowboy Bebop. That's how my head works. You've just shattered my reality.
Well, get used to it. That's what I do.
Bring the thunder, man. Rock me. Tell me what is going on. Why do you like it?
I think the first thing that really made me sit up and say, hey, I might like this.
Did you actually sit up and say?
I sat up and I went, hey, now.
I might like this.
It's possible I'm going to like this. Was the style of it. Like,
okay.
It's not the animation style, but like the music in this is so cool, first of all. Like, I absolutely love the freaking music.
I do, too, actually. I mean, I've seen
this. Do you?
I've seen the whole series. And
I've not seen the movie
And
yet,
the movie.
So, yeah.
Well, you got my message, right?
I did, but I did not watch them in order.
Oh, you fucked hard.
Did I mess up?
You fucked it up a little bit. I mean...
Really?
You just have to understand now that when you watch the movie that it's not going to be in order. So... It's supposed to be inserted before the end of the series as an episode of the series.
That's what she said.
Yeah, so you didn't insert it properly.
Okay, so but that's not going to destroy my enjoyment.
No, absolutely not. Have you finished the series?
I have finished the series. Yes.
Okay, so you finished the series. That's...
And we're probably going to spoil it. I don't know if we talk about it at any
spoiler
depth.
Alert.
But yeah, so
Cowboy
watch out.
Cowboy Bebop virgins, get out of the room.
I'll play real folk blues if we're about to go into spoiler town.
That's a good song.
That's a really good song. Really
I like
good.
The. You were going on before I inserted my.
Episode.
So before I had my episode, you were saying that you like the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always like the intro. Is that what the song's called?
No, the intro. No. That's just like the theme of the show. I don't know what name that song has, but the outro.
That's not the real folk blues?
Is the real folk blues. No.
Oh, that's the one with the chick singing, right?
Yes. Yeah. The one that says the real folk blues in it.
Yeah, but there's...
It's played 20-something times in the last week, so
right.
I have it very, very fresh in my head.
Not me. I haven't watched it in over probably 6 years.
Yeah,
so it's,
I don't expect you to remember it.
No, I don't even vaguely remember the plot of the goddamn thing.
It's a love story.
Is that primarily how it is? It's a love story overall?
Yeah. I mean, you've got Spike, the main character, who is essentially... was in love with this girl Julia at some point, and oh, I should be playing the real folk blues here.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's playing in the background right now. Sure. But basically, they fell in love, and like they got separated. He was supposed to come back for her, and I guess he never did. And then near the end of it, he discovers that she's still alive and she wasn't killed. And he goes back
to
meet
this.
Her. And,
also having, like, an arch nemesis to him.
Yeah, whose name is Vicious.
Yeah. And all I remember is the ending is horribly tragic.
Very, very tragic.
And it's definitely the series is over.
The series is over.
It's done.
Because, everyone dies. The only person I can't think... The only person I think of who doesn't die is maybe Faye and what's his name? The sidekick who owns the ship.
Yeah,
with the beard. Who owns the Bebop. With the beard.
Yeah,
Does he have a beard? He has a cyborg arm.
Yeah, I think he has a little bit of a... maybe like a real thin
You're probably
hair,
right, yeah.
As I recall.
He has a mechanical eyebrow as well, which was kind of weird.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's kind of goofy. I must say I didn't like... And it's not because of the mechanical eyebrow. I didn't even remember that. But I did not enjoy my experience with this anime. I fucking wanted to love it, right?
Really?
I
had it been super hyped?
It had.
It had, really?
Oh, God, yes. The guy that wanted me to get this under my belt was this total anime freak, game freak, very much a geek. So, you know, somebody cut from our cloth, but way more into anime than I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I like anime, I consider myself a fan,
uh-huh.
But he was absolutely baptized in it and had it all over his room, his house.
Nice.
And said that this was like the best anime of all time.
Really?
And said that this would totally rock my world and melt the flesh off my face, like spending the night with Charlie
Sheen. He hyped it that much?
Yeah.
Tiger Blood.
And not only did he hype it that much, it was concentrated day after day because he was my manager at the game store that I worked at the time.
Hmm.
So day in and day out, it was always, have you seen Cowboy Bebop yet? No. Well, you should. It's the greatest thing since sliced chicken. And then I would be like...
I didn't even know they sliced chicken.
Then I'd be like, you know, that kind of turns me off. But at some point... it penetrates through my shields, and I have to see it. So, famous cousin, Ace Jace, you know, world-renowned Quake champion.
Sure.
He lent me the series on DVD and the movie with a printout piece of paper on the order to watch them.
Oh,
I spent a weekend, entire Monday through, you know, Sunday, watching them in order. And then at the end of it all, I was like, I kind of hate that show.
See, that's interesting to me because you also, if I recall, don't like Firefly, right?
This is correct, yeah.
Which is going to be interesting because I have a little topic about Firefly tonight, but, okay. Well, roughly related. But that was also super hyped to you, wasn't it?
Totally. Yeah, you
like,
and
me and Aaron were saying, man, this is the best thing. Geeks love this. Everyone loves this.
Yeah, you're not complete as a geek, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's big. That's a big deal to me. That means that it's got a huge shoe to fill. And if it, I mean, you better not, if you really want me to like something.
Don't hype it.
Don't hype it to me. Just slip it to me under the table, yeah. Under the rug someday. And and then I might actually see it as you saw it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You didn't probably experience a lot of the things that you enjoy in life after a super hype. That's what's so bad about commercials and movies these days. They show you the best parts. They get you really excited. And then you go in the movie shit. How many of us have experienced that?
Come on. Everybody who's seen Star Wars.
Everybody's breathing.
Have you ever watched anything that had been super hyped that you actually liked?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
What about, have you seen Scott Pilgrim? Because I know we super hyped that.
I did. And
what'd you think?
I actually didn't like it as much as I thought I would, but I still enjoyed it. Because it was fun. It was just, it was a fun movie, and it wasn't specifically hyped to me. I'm going to enjoy it because of such and such, you know, it was just, hey, this is actually pretty exciting. And it was comical and action packed. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like in a specific genre. Every time somebody goes and hypes something to me, I ask them what it's about. And if it's about one specific thing, I think of automatically the best experience I ever had in that genre. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, it's got to compare to that thing.
And it's got to be better.
It's got to be better.
Yeah.
And then I watch it, and it's not. And I'm disappointed. Scott Pilgrim is all over the fucking map. There's fucking humor and sexuality and fight scenes and all kinds of cool stuff. So it wasn't really like I could compare it to anything, which is why I actually ended up liking it.
I'm trying to think. I might do the same thing. Maybe there is such a thing as overhype, because
like
no matter how good the core material is, mm-hmm. you can still overhype it. Even if it is literally the best thing on the planet, I think you could still overhype it, because the same thing happened to me with The Wire. Like, I heard everybody was saying The Wire is the best show on television. It's the best show ever, hands down. It'll blow you away. And I was not blown away.
Sure.
Phantom Menace, obviously, there are reasons I wasn't blown away.
Oh, God.
But
I'm at your place there, man. That doesn't even score on my fucking map anymore.
But it was so hyped. So hyped.
Oh, God. It was so hyped.
That may have been the most hyped thing I've ever seen.
I think so. And the best part of that to this day and to my dying breath will be when that theater erupted into an explosive geek-gasm that rocked the entire stadium.
When the letters
exploded onto the screen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Long time
with
ago.
John Williams Star Wars right there.
Yeah.
In the big yellow letters, knowing that was the Star Wars that was going to launch a brand new episode that none of us had seen before.
Okay, we've talked in length about how terrible this was. Let's not do it again.
Awesome.
Well, I'm sure we'll have a whole episode dedicated to just the intro of the Phantom
Menace.
That
moment, if I could isolate a moment in my geek life that was awesome, that would be one.
But you have to keep it very isolated. Otherwise, it spoils it
immediately.
You
don't go past. It's just that moment, and then it's over. And then I roll over and go to sleep.
Okay. But I don't know. The overhype thing, it's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Cowboy Bebop is that it had been overhyped to me. Like, I had heard, hey, this is great, this is fantastic, you need to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care about the genre at all.
Right.
I was like, it can't possibly be good because it's in a genre I hate.
So you didn't buy into the hype.
So I didn't buy into the hype.
There we go.
I didn't buy it at all.
Absolutely.
And so when I sat down, I was like, I'm going to hate this. There's no way I'm possibly going to like this.
That's probably the difference, because I like the genre going in, and I bought the hype and then didn't like it. You didn't buy the hype because you don't like the genre, and then it affected you.
I say, from now on, I'm not going to buy into any hype.
Well, you're going to have to not listen to radio, not surf the internet, you're going to have to become a monk and join
Or just look for hype about things that I don't like, and then go try.
I don't know, man. Hype finds you.
Hype finds you. The hype mind.
It's like us. We find you.
All right.
I just want to know what else you liked about it, because you mentioned the music.
The music.
You didn't say it. You said you didn't like the art style?
No, the art style was okay.
I thought the art style
blow
was
me
fine.
Away. Yeah.
I did not have a problem there.
I didn't either. It just didn't blow me away.
Right. Well, what else? I mean, you said it was a basic love story, and I don't really recall the details, but...
Well, the characters are good. I like Spike's character is awesome. He's just this cool dude who's very skilled fighter, who's... he is a good bounty hunter, but a lot of things get in his way. Mm-hmm. And things seem to happen to him. Like, when he's bounty hunting and there's this cowboy guy. I can't think of his name, but he's an actual cowboy on a horse. And he rides in to, like, arrest criminals. And he mistakes Spike for a criminal and, like, arrests him while Spike is trying to arrest another guy. And just generally gets in his way at every turn. And it turns out that they're basically just alike, and they're doing all the same things. It's really weird, but I really like his character. I didn't care too much about the sidekick guy, but the character that I love the most out of this whole series is Edward, the little girl.
Yeah.
She is so freaking crazy. Like, she's all over the place. She's super smart. She's a hacker.
Right.
But she's totally a child. Like, I think she's like 9 or 12 or something.
Yeah, she's real preteen.
Yeah, she's very young. And she's just insane. But she's super smart at the same time. And I really just enjoyed, like, the mix of the two. Like, it's not a character I'd ever seen before. Hmm. And I thought it was interesting.
Kind of the innocence and the playfulness. And at the same time, the super high IQ.
Because you'll see that. You'll see, like, kids who are very, very smart in, like, television shows. Or, I guess... shows, mm-hmm. since they're no longer television shows,
right.
or different movies or whatever. But you don't really see them being kids. They typically are portrayed as adults in child form.
So is this the same reason, like, the only other character in fiction that comes to mind is Ender from Ender's Game. Although he wasn't
he's
innocent or playful, was
he? No, not at all.
No,
not at
he
all.
Wasn't. So this is a character that's kind of like that. With a super high intellect, and then at the same time retains that goofy randomness that you see in children of that appropriate age range.
The imagination, the ability to just let loose and have fun, and I really enjoy
that. So you
that
like
character.
That character.
Yeah.
So it was the characters that drove your enjoyment.
The characters, the story, the music.
The universe it was in? It's kind of futurist.
Yeah, the universe future. Is cool. It's definitely the sci-fi universe lint. Some sort of credibility in my mind. Like, it's not some fantasy anime.
Right, because there's another colorblindness.
Exactly. Had it been both colorblindness?
Could you have even brought yourself to try
it? I don't think
so. You probably wouldn't even try it.
If there was a wizard with, like...
riding a dragon.
Riding a dragon at the beginning of this thing, I would have shut it off immediately.
Right.
Yeah. I can't do both. One or the other, maybe.
One at a time.
Maybe
one at a time. Now's the time to tackle the next
the
one.
Wizard anime?
Yeah.
The wizard dragon riding wizard anime?
Yeah.
No.
By the end of this, Jim, I will have you watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Loving it.
No, no,
yes.
No. And see, that's the other thing. That's the reason I don't like anime.
It's
because of Dragon
drug.
Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z made
Dragon
me hate
Ball
anime.
Z. You thought that was all there was, didn't you?
I did. I really
you thought
did.
It defined anime.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is, watching Dragon Ball Z, I know that it's very, very serialized, right? Like, there's a story thread tying through every single episode.
Totally. I'd say it's definitely serial. It is chapter-esque. Everything links to the next, but it's kind of done in segments. There's a saga. Like, for example, the Frieza saga. It's a big super...
This is more than I want to know about
no,
it already.
Let me just quickly run through the method. There's a method to the show.
All right.
All right. They have a super villain arise.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
you pick one.
Boo Star.
Yeah, let's do... But Boo is one. But Boo Star... I'm serious.
And then he morphs into Boo Star when he goes Super Saiyan.
Boo does
and
morph.
Up.
That's
no.
crazy. Ugh. You've seen it.
I have seen it. You're right.
Okay.
I've seen episodes of it.
Okay. And so it does have that structure, but they do sometimes reference older things and older elements, but they're not pivotal. Like, it'll just go over your head if you've not, watched the earlier episodes.
Okay.
But yeah, supervillain comes, struggle, defeat the supervillain.
The heroes defeat.
The heroes defeat the supervillain.
What was that?
I don't know. My best William Shatner. And then another supervillain will come and they have to kill it.
So supervillain after supervillain.
Why is that a bad thing? Like, what was your point?
You know why? Because the episodes, how long are the episodes? Are they an hour each?
They're, I think, a half hour each.
Half hour? And 20 minutes out of that half hour is grunting and powering up.
Oh, God.
Every single episode is 20 minutes of grunting and powering up, 10 minutes of dialogue and action. God. It's a completely imbalanced ratio.
Well, I knew we were going to go here.
Of course you did, because it's true. It's true. I've seen more grunting and powering up in Dragon Ball Z than I've seen anything else.
There is a lot of grunting, okay?
And a lot of powering up.
Right, you have to grunt while you power up.
I mean, I do, but...
You expect to power up without grunting? Come on.
At least it's
realistic. I mean, because, I mean, who does not grunt while they power up?
I just couldn't take it. I swear one time, like, I walked into your room, I stood there for 5 minutes of grunting and powering up, and I left because it was just, I should not be watching that on television. I thought you had it on repeat.
Or some pornographic, like.
Grunting and powering up. I don't know, man.
Oh, God. 5 minutes of grunting. There's more to the fucking show. You've got to understand, this series has been going on for years.
Grunting and powering
it's
up.
It's not going on anymore.
4 out of 5 years.
Akira Toriyama doesn't do it now, but it had like 3 series. There was Dragon Ball, then there was Dragon Ball Z, and then there was Dragon Ball GT, which was a shorter run series, wasn't as popular in Japan, and kind of took a little bit different direction with the material. But there's like 180 episodes of the goddamn show across 3 series. So there is a lot. Is that what your original point was in bringing this here?
170 of those episodes
are grunting.
Is that you felt
like to get into anime? Because Cowboy Bebop's a little bit unique because a lot of these series are huge. They go on forever, years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Multiple spinoffs, manga. Cowboy Bebop's pretty much you watch the show... You know, you watch 20-something episodes, you're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's over. And is that why, another reason you approached it? What even made you try it?
No, I actually didn't know when I went to watch it how many episodes there were, if it was 100 years or 1 year or whatever. Mm-hmm. The reason I tried it is because it was recommended to me by several people, like, all at once. And it was just like, all right, fine. I've been hearing about this thing for ages. I've got this color blindness that I need to get over. Let's just do it. Let's jump in. I'm sick. I don't feel like doing much of anything else but watching TV. I'm just going to do it.
So Dragon Ball Z actually helped you enjoy Cowboy Bebop because you expected it to be like Dragon Ball Z.
Well, I expected it to be a lot of bullshit like grunting and powering up. No, I noticed very, very little grunting. In this series.
That's good.
Almost no grunting whatsoever.
I don't think grunting is an anime staple.
It's just Dragon Ball Z.
I think it might just be Dragon Ball Z.
But very, very little grunting. And the other thing that I thought going in was that it was going to be very serialized. Like, very complete story. Every week adds on to the story. And there's, like, this all these threads going through it. But I found out that there was really only one... main thread to the story, and the rest of the episodes were like kind of episodic.
Yeah, they were. That's another reason I didn't like it.
Yeah, that kind of turned me off a little bit because I was expecting more serialization.
I wanted more of a saga.
Yeah,
but I didn't get it except for that one thread you alluded to.
Yeah. But with the 1 year format, you would think they could tell a very neat, clean, threaded story.
There. Yeah, that built up, that took elements and drug them all the way through to a completion, which it did with that one thread.
It did, yeah. And it did that very well.
I thought that was the best part of the show, myself. But I wanted a little bit more emphasis on that thread. And each episode, that's another reason I didn't really care for Firefly, because each episode was pretty much its own thing. And I kind of wanted, like, this saga universe, like a Deep Space Nine, where... you're kind of lost in season four if you haven't seen seasons one through three, you know?
And I get that. I understand why you were hoping for more out of Firefly in that regard. With Firefly, you have to remember that that was not designed to be a 14-episode series.
True.
They were building, but you're right, it was somewhat episodic. Although in those episodes, a lot of stuff did happen that if you've seen Serenity, have you seen that?
Did finally see that. Liked Serenity.
Okay, yeah. A lot of stuff that, well, everything that's in Serenity was meant to play out over a course of years.
Right. Through the series. And it felt kind of rushed.
It did,
even
yeah.
in the movie felt, you know, very rushed.
And I think had it been given the time to really
develop, it would have been great. It could have been.
Yeah.
Maybe I would not be sitting here saying that I don't like Firefly. It could have
possibly
be one of my favorites. But
I think the thing that most people liked about Firefly is the setting and the style of it. Like that cowboy, western, oriental space
theme. That's why I'm looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, God. God.
That same reason.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I remembered some of the Chinese curses they said in Firefly, because I'd use one right now on you.
I don't remember them either.
Another thing I liked about Cowboy Bebop, and I don't know how many people do it this way, but I was watching the dubbed version, so that it had U.S., American, whatever voices.
Lame.
And I had subs on at the bottom.
Oh, you did?
So
okay, well, that's not terrible. Because then you can see where the differences are.
Yeah, and that was the interesting thing. Like, all these... The subtitles on Cowboy Bebop, at least the subtitles I had, were very, very bad. Like, had I only been watching the, like, Japanese dub and with the subtitles, I would have missed so much context. Because the phrases that they use in the subtitles are not, like, Americanized very well at all. Like, they'll say things that... You understand what they mean, but they don't have the weight and the contextual stuff in them that American slang does and American sayings do.
Absolutely right. And that's a big reason I think a lot of purists will watch it with the original voice actors.
Yeah, yeah. Because, if they understand Japanese, right?
Well, like, no, because I've watched a lot of my anime with that original... the Japanese language playing on the audio and then just reading the subtitles. That way you get the phonetic kind of punctuation.
Sure.
And appropriate tone delivered by the original voice actors, as well as a more accurate translation of the meaning into English.
Well, that was the thing. Like, the subtitles were not doing a very good job of giving me any context. Hmm. That was the issue I had. Like, the voice acting was actually better than the subtitles, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I didn't hear the Japanese audio track, obviously, so I don't know if there was, like, stuff that I was missing because I wasn't hearing their exact inflection or whatever.
I'm definitely more of a lazier fan these days. I'm losing my hardcore edge, and I'm liking the dubs because I can just listen. And as long as you kind of enter it knowing that you're not going to get a precise... accurate delivery of the intent all the time.
Yeah.
You can kind of fill in the blanks a little, you know?
I had no problem with it. I mean, I obviously don't watch a lot of anime, so...
Right,
would you try...
Would you, now that you've enjoyed, you know, had a good experience with anime, would you attempt to venture forth into that
As long as it's not Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
no Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, off the table.
I can't do it.
Forget it. No more grunting.
But yeah, give me another good anime and I'll watch it.
You'll try anime again.
I'll try an anime again.
Oh, wow.
I could become an anime fan.
You're starting to see in color.
Yeah, yeah.
You could become a fan.
I could become a fan.
That's pretty intense. That's cool.
Because I thoroughly enjoyed my experience with Cowboy Bebop.
Well, with that said, I've brought you this list of fantasy novels here. I've got first Lord of the Rings. Actually, I'm going to start you with a lighter read, The Silmarillion.
Even I know that's not a light read.
That's not how you break into fantasy fiction.
No.
All right. Well, that's cool. What else is going on?
Two other shows I want to talk about, and I've tried to talk about them a little quicker. Another show that I watched start to finish, three seasons, I think, maybe only two. Is Community. Have you seen Community?
No, but I've heard about it. It's a call. No,
It's a cult. God, no, it's not a call center.
It's not the call center show?
No, in India? No.
Yeah.
That's offensive and dumb. I hate that.
Really? You think it's offensive and dumb?
It's offensive and dumb.
I've not seen it, but I've been hearing all about it. I, of course, now work in a call center environment, tech support.
Yeah.
And people love that show there. I don't... What's the name of the show?
I don't even have the name.
We haven't even named the
damn thing. I've seen episodes on non-television, but I don't know what it is.
Maybe that'll be it in the future. NTV.
I want my NTV.
Yeah. Non-television.
Just change that song, yeah.
Now airing on NTV. Every show. Anyway.
Anyway.
So,
Community is about a community college. Like this group of... it's a study group. They're in a Spanish study group that was faked by the guy at the beginning to try to hit on this girl. And... it turned into an actual study group, and they're all friends now. Right off the bat, the Jehovah's Witness stuck out to me. There's a Jehovah's Witness character in Community. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I didn't know that.
But he is by far the worst Jehovah's Witness I've ever seen. This guy would be kicked out of the Jehovah's Witnesses so fast that it would make his head spin.
He would lose our game, the society.
Absolutely, he would.
He'd be disfellowshipped.
He'd be disfellowshipped in a heartbeat. He's playing after school. He's like a very famous high school quarterback. Doesn't happen.
No.
He's going to Halloween parties, Christmas parties.
Absolutely.
He's celebrating birthdays.
Does not go. He's doing all these things.
He's cursing. He's fighting. None of this stuff would be allowed. None of it.
Hell no. Absolutely not. I wonder if they did any like source material research.
They couldn't have.
On the character. No character study there at all.
It's
apparently
impossible that they did even the smallest shred of research.
Wow. Did they get anything right? I'll play the Price is Right game.
Man.
Did
I'm
they
trying
get
to think
anything
of anything
right?
They got right.
He celebrates birthdays, Christmas.
Yeah. He goes to Christmas and Halloween parties. Because at one point he says, like, they're trying to get him to go to like this Christmas party or whatever that none of them want to go to. And they all have their like excuses like, oh, I've got something to do that day. And his excuse is I'm a Jehovah's Witness. So that part is accurate, but then he would not be going to Christmas or Halloween parties.
No.
At all.
No.
So I don't understand.
What age is this person?
It's not consistent even within the show. It doesn't make any sense. He's college age, like 20 maybe.
I don't like
Yeah, because he turns 21 during the show, so.
Is still living at home, or he's out on his own?
He's out on his own.
Maybe he's experimenting with things, doing it all. He's leading
doing,
a double life.
He's doing like the Amish do. What's the...
The Mennonites?
No. What's the term?
Use technology?
What's the term for the Amish where they
Pictures
go
don't
out...
steal their souls.
During the... Like when they turn 18, they go out and party it up and do whatever.
Leave that you're making this gesture. Nobody can see this, but he's doing the classic in and out, you know, with the arms,
trying to grasp my thoughts,
grabbing at air and pulling it back in.
Yeah,
and
trying to get the word.
Is there a word for it? Is it a special
there is. There's
Amish
a special,
word?
Yeah, and I can't think of it. But anyway,
sowing your wild
maybe he's
oats.
Doing that.
Sow your wild oats.
That's not the technical term. There's technical Amish
Oh, there's
term.
A technical term.
Yeah.
I don't know the technical.
I don't either. But he's a terrible witness. Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me right off the bat.
Yeah, I don't like it already. I hate it.
Well, overall, I like the show because there's this great character named Abed who is like this total... He's a total nerd and he's immersed in media all the time. And every time he speaks practically, it's... some sort of movie or television or game reference. And he's constantly being nerdy.
That's the witness?
No. This is another guy named Abed.
Oh,
Abed.
Okay. Abed.
He's very cool. He's like total nerds.
Is he Muslim? Is this like all like...
He's Middle Eastern. I think he might be from Pakistan or
Do
India.
Do they all announce their religious beliefs, all the characters? Is this like
no,
a...
No, it's a very like... eclectic class of characters, you know, like they try and get one person from every background and mix them all together and it creates this hilarious mix.
It's
one
Harold
of those shows.
And Kumar go to White Castle.
Yeah, except to the nth degree.
Except instead
they've got
of two characters.
The yuppie white guy. They've got the hippie earth friendly chick.
So like an early 2000s teen movie. Where they've got
yes, yeah, very
all
much
the
so.
Stereotypes are present.
All the stereotypes are there. and they think it's hilarious to see them interact.
Gotcha.
Whatever.
Okay.
But Abed the nerd is really hilarious. So geeks are probably like that, like him. And then they do these shows. You've probably heard about the D&D episode, right?
No.
No?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
I know nothing of this.
The D&D episode is epic. You need to check that out because really? They play a D&D game. Like there's
the
this...
Jehovah's Witness too?
The Jehovah's Witness too, yeah.
Bullshit.
Yep, yep, called bullshit. But they all get together and they play this D&D game and it is absolutely awesome because Chevy Chase is in it. And he plays this...
Is that right?
Yeah. He plays this old guy who is just an asshole to everybody. And his goal in the D&D game is to kill this... To kill the party. That's all he wants to do. He wants a TPK, total party kill.
I didn't even know it was such a term.
Yeah. So he's going for that.
So he's not the DM. He's a player trying to sabotage everything.
Yeah.
I tried to do that once. You'd get kicked the fuck out of the game pretty soon.
I bet. Yeah.
And suddenly all the monsters were attacking me.
Yeah.
And coming up out of the earth after me. And
well, that's the thing. Abed was the game master, and he's like very... He wants to play it by the rules. Like, he's not going to just kick you out of the game because you're causing trouble. He's going to play... If you can play the game better than the other players, he's going to let you do whatever you want, basically. Wow. So...
That's an interesting approach.
It's very cool. You need to check that episode out. At least
that one.
I'll
look for that on my non-TV player.
Yeah. And then they do a lot of these themed episodes. So, like, you've got the... rah.
Shish boom bah.
Shish boom bah. So you've got, like, the D&D episode. You've got the latest one they did is Pulp Fiction. And it's all themed in the Pulp Fiction universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a Halloween episode where they did, like, a zombie outbreak sort of thing at the school. And they had the costumes of Abed and the Witness character. Yes, he's at a Halloween party. Abed was in the alien costume. Uh-huh. And then the Witness character was in the Ripley's costume where she's got, like, the crane around her or whatever, or the mechanical, like... arms that she's fighting the alien with.
Uh-huh.
That was his costume.
Functional? So, or it was just a silly, like...
It was silly. It was a cardboard thing.
Gotcha.
But I thought that was pretty funny. So they do tons of, like, media and geek references in
Sounds like a geeks kind of show to me.
It is. It's good. I like it.
So I'll check it out. Community, huh?
Community.
What non-TV... What non-TV actual station is
Friday that night? So maybe I have no idea. No idea.
And just I'll look on my phone and stream it off.
Look on your NTV.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a lot of non-television that you've been watching there.
That is. I've got one more show I want to talk about. I know. I don't know how long this episode is going to be.
What else? I don't know what we're at right now.
Oh man, we're at. I'm gonna cover this one quick.
All right.
Castle is the other one I've been watching. Have you heard anything about this?
No.
Nothing.
Nope.
Okay, this is a procedural crime drama, which I normally freaking hate.
Procedural crime drama. Are you talking like CSI-esque?
I am, unfortunately. Mm. And I
never,
hate these
never
shows.
Like that.
Gosh. I don't like the Law and Orders. I don't like
me either.
CSI, Miami.
I can't get into them.
Las Vegas. However,
there's a CSI every state.
CSI
is there
London,
a CSI Indiana?
Probably. CSI.
Why is this different? What's good about this?
This has Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
Well, first of all, and also Dr. Horrible fame, right?
And Dr. Horrible, yep.
So
he's Hammer.
What don't you like quickly though about the other types of shows? What has never done it for you?
I'm actually surprised that any geeks like procedurals. I'm of mixed feeling because procedurals, the whole point is to pose a problem,
mm-hmm.
research it over the course of the show, and solve it at the end.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game, basically.
But it's not. It's a very bad one because it's like, it's a puzzle game where you watch someone else do it.
You watch somebody.
It's like sitting at a table watching someone put together a puzzle.
Yeah.
That is not fun.
Sounds boring when you put it that way.
It really is. Like, if I'm watching a mystery, they're giving me clues up front. Like, I should basically be able to figure out within the first 20 minutes of a movie who did it. If I really think and put the pieces together. Like,
but then you're working. Your head's working.
Exactly.
Not the characters.
You're not
doing
following the characters as they slowly piece together. Like, that's the thing. At the, like, 20 minutes from the end of the movie, I shouldn't get a new detail that I couldn't possibly have known.
True, yeah.
I should get all that front-loaded and then have the characters go around doing whatever they want to do to try to figure it out while I'm trying to figure it out based on the same information that they're going to have at the end.
Okay, makes sense. And that way some specific technology in that field doesn't appear later out of the blue and, you know, just like change the shape of everything. Or a doctor goes, oh, I remember in my 8th year of med school, they said this in this book at this chapter.
Yeah.
Because you as a normal Joe watcher, you're not going to have that knowledge. So it's almost like...
Or if you are going to do that, like have him researching it in the book at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. That way
so
you
that you
know,
have the same information the characters do I at like the very that. End from the beginning of the movie. That way you can be piecing it together.
Interesting.
It doesn't interest me because it's like watching someone else. It is watching someone else solve a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's boring.
Heavy Rain on PlayStation 3 has a heavy kind of CSI feel to it in mm-hmm. certain chapters around this character. But you're interacting with him directly. You're directing him to the clues.
Okay.
You're piecing it. It's an interactive thing. So you're getting new information with him because you're in direct control and you're seeing it unfold because of the way you controlled it. That was cool.
I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
But I don't like what you're describing. I've never watched those shows. Don't really know if I wouldn't like them for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. But what is it about this new Castle thing? What's so good about White Castle?
It's basically Nathan Fillion. It's the same reason I like House, because House is a medical procedural. But Nathan Fillion just makes this show. Like, he's like this sophisticated... He's an author, a best-selling author, like a Stephen King or something, who's sophisticated and he's smart because he's researched everything for his books. And he's this playboy who is just constantly, like, going around, like, flirting with women, and everyone loves him, and he's just this great, strong character at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it's kind of morphing to where he's this, like, this naive, like, easily manipulated idiot. It's just, he's turning into almost a kid in a lot of ways, to where he just... Because at the beginning, they used, like, his ability to weave a story to solve these crimes. Like, he was piecing together things that other people didn't see because they didn't have the imagination to do it.
Yeah,
they couldn't see where all the pieces fit, and he does this for a living all day, every day, inventing new stories.
Sure.
But now he's become the guy who's like, maybe aliens did it, maybe, like, the painting fell off the wall because the aliens came down and turned the wall into a transparent...
Sounds like a conspiracy theorist.
Yes,
almost.
He's turning very much into a conspiracy theorist, but a totally naive, like, childlike and conspiracy theorist. Like, his theories are so far out into the blue yonder that there's no
we
way...
We should have him on the show.
...they could ever be taken seriously. Right. Whereas at the beginning, his theories were spot on because he was immersed in this crime world and
well,
this
that
thinking.
That could kind of be interesting if they take it in the direction you describe, because maybe he's slowly losing himself.
I don't think there's any story.
There's no story like that.
That's not an arc. No, that is not his arc.
It's just no reason. They're just changing the character for no reason.
I think they've morphed the character into...
So you might not be a fan
a little
for
more
too much longer.
No, that's probably true. I've seen the first 2.5 seasons, and I'm thinking I'm probably out. Because Nathan Fillion is good, but he's not enough to keep me on, A, a procedural crime drama, and B, a show where I don't really care for his character very much.
He was supposed to play Nathan Drake in the movie based on Uncharted.
Wow.
But,
really?
Yeah, but they got someone else instead. I forget who they replaced him with.
Ed Norton.
No, somebody bad. Somebody nowhere
Somebody
near.
Worse? Oh, I wouldn't think Nathan Fillion would be good for that.
Really?
No.
We are talking about the same guy,
yeah,
right?
Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Yeah. No. Nathan Fillion. Isn't that his name?
Yeah, he's Hammer from Doctor Horror.
Yeah, you don't think he'd be
Mal
a good
from
Nathan
Firefly.
Drake from Uncharted?
No.
Why not? He's almost the perfect appearance.
No.
Same kind
is
of
he?
Wisecracking.
No, he's too thick of a dude. too for thick, one. Huh? Yeah, he's too thick. He's too... He's wisecracking in a different way. He's not wisecracking in, like, this totally... Well, I guess he is in Firefly. I'm basing it all in Castle now, where he's this naive idiot who's easily manipulated by everyone around him.
Base it on the actor, not his role.
Yeah, no, you're right. Not that
particular role. I think that he could pull it off, personally. I think he would have done a way better job than whoever it was they got instead.
So. Tobey Maguire.
No, I think it was Gary Busey.
Oh, God. I would watch that. I would pay too. A lot of money to see that.
That would be a hell of a show.
I'm with Busey.
Oh, yeah. Indiana Jones, but with Busey, basically, is what Uncharted would be if Gary Busey was Nathan Drake.
Oh, man.
That would be frantic.
And then you give him Short Round. Busey and Short Round.
Short Round could ride one of his molars, man. His teeth are huge. They're goddamn
enormous. His teeth are huge. You're right. Yeah.
His smile could, like, blot out the sun or redirect it.
Anyway, so I was trying to think of, like, reasons the geek should watch it other than Nathan Fillion. There's a lot of Firefly references in it, obviously. A lot of Star Wars references, some geek stuff. They did a cool steampunk episode not too long ago. Castle.
Steampunk?
Did a steampunk episode. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting, actually.
It was. It was cool. and the episode itself was actually not bad. As far as the mystery, that the puzzle that you're watching was not bad.
Did they have their hands on their hips and be like, gee, I hope we solve this mystery?
Yes, and they took their sunglasses off, turned towards the camera, and said something clever.
Cool. That's what I like out of my non-TV shows.
My procedural, not in TVs.
Yeah. So, you liked it, you'd suggest it, yeah. But you're pretty much done with it.
I would suggest watching the first season and a half, and then skipping to the steampunk episode, and then stopping.
All right. The Jim Jones review.
Yep.
Any other non-TV?
Nope, that's it.
All right. That's done.
All my non-TV. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's your thunder then.
You have any thunder?
Oh, a little bit. I've got my third day with the 3DS.
Oh, 3Ds with the 3DS.
3DS. I, in the middle of all that gay bar hopping, I found the time to go purchase a Nintendo three-dimensional unit. 3DS. I love how they don't... Even the box says it. It says, this unit has the ability to display 3D images without the need for special glasses. Like, it's a long fucking way to say 3D without glasses. Why can't you just say that? Or have a sunglasses and a circle around it with a line through the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's this long phrase.
Picture's worth 1,000 words, man.
Right.
So what does the 3DS stand for? Just three dual screen?
That's what I think. Yeah.
That's terrible.
I don't like that, actually.
That's a terrible name.
It seemed witty back when it was released because it's three-dimensional.
Uh-huh.
It does 3D images. And the last portable was the dual screen, the DS. But 3DS doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It would have to be the 3D DS.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be a double D in the middle.
Well, I'm all for double Ds.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Especially on my consoles.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I go to gay bars.
What?
But anyway, no. Drag queens. Anyway.
Oh, double dragons?
Double dragon. Take a look at them dragon balls. Yeah. Oh, God. So far off topic.
Bring us back.
Let's bring it back. And yeah, so 3DS, not the best name, but if you don't think about it, it flows off the tongue well enough.
Sure, yeah.
So I got it. Didn't have to stand in line this time. No, no line standing. I pre-ordered the son of a bitch.
Oh,
so I could have actually not still picked it up and just stroll in and waltz in and have it. They actually had consumer copies, though. I guess they, unlike the Wii, where it was this very... what I feel is strategically limited supply to build demand.
Yeah.
There was a shit ton of consoles there. There's units out the yang. So they had several that were not spoken for by pre-orders that they were selling to people. So nice. I got a black one, got it day one after I woke up and took some medicine for my hangover. I went there and So far, I'm impressed. I'm liking it, but I'm actually so nervous because this thing's so expensive. Like, I don't want to, like, roughhouse it.
What do you mean roughhouse it? You're pushing buttons, man.
Yeah, but, like, I got two games. There aren't very many good games out for it right now.
Okay.
The launch lineup is pretty shit.
One of them is called Slam the Console on the Table. I really haven't tried that yet, but I don't think I'm going to like it.
Or you have to throw the console at the wall.
Scratch the screen with a razor blade.
Destroy DS. A 3DS in 3D. Will it blend? No, it's not like that, but I did get a game. It's a Super Street Fighter 4.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, I mean, you can get... You remember how our old friend Orfer used to play those games?
Oh, well, that's...
Man, he would eat a controller alive. His huge bare hands,
mammoth hands,
would
yeah.
just like snap the controller like that guy from Mice and Men snapped women's necks. And yeah, tell me about the rabbits, George. Anyway, the fighting games, I get that way. I get that same kind of intense way.
Just put too much intensity into it.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, smash the system up because it's sure. so, you know, it's so, so I'm kind of being babyish with it.
Okay.
But I've enjoyed it. I am a little disappointed in some of the aspects of it.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes. The 3D pretty much has to be, you have to be looking at it pretty much dead on.
Mm.
There is, and with my portable gaming, like I like the game in the bed and upside down and flip it. literally, I do. Yeah. I can be in a pretzel shape and play my old DS.
Sure.
In this, you feel like you have to be a little more fixed, and you can't like. I think one of the fun things about portable gaming was the fact that you could view it from any angle and like have your head laid back on a pillow and. Mm-hmm. And play it at night before you go to bed or while you're driving, while somebody's driving you someplace in a car. All these different positions. Mm-hmm. But with this, you have to be so exact and so fixed. And for a small screen, that's a challenge when it's small screen in your hand. Plus, you have to tweak the slider bar. You can get the game that you're playing into this very sweet spot where the 3D looks beautiful and it's mm-hmm. perfectly represented. But it's so tenuous because you've got a slider bar that you've had to tweak. Mm-hmm. There are some adjustments you have to go through before you can just fire up a game and go to town. You have to, you know.
Yeah.
So a little irritating.
Well, you know what you need? We honestly need to come up with this accessory, which is like a piece of headgear
yeah.
that straps to your head, connects to your DS with these solid, stiff rods that don't allow it to move from a certain angle.
That's perfect. Why didn't they think of that before? And then we can have the graphics be in red. Just red. And we'll call it the Virtual Bob.
Yeah, we'll call it the Virtual DS.
The Virtual DS.
The VDS.
Yeah.
That actually sounds horrible.
I'm sure you could have gotten that at the clubs I've been to.
Yeah, the VDs.
Yeah.
You know people would call it the VDs.
Yeah, the 3D VDS.
3D videos?
So I can kind of see why the guy who created the Virtual Boy did it that way, because it keeps your goddamn eyes
in
looking
the right
at
spots.
The screen in the right spot.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's a big problem. That's what people were saying when they first saw the device.
I think it's a huge problem. I think it's actually so big of a problem that it may bring it down.
Really? You think it's a game breaker?
It's almost a deal breaker. Almost. Hmm. But there are so many other redeeming elements to the system that it might not be. Because for one thing, its graphics capability, way awesome.
At the very least, it's a way more powerful DS.
Way more powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, it's a portable GameCube, portable Wii quality, portable original Xbox. If you watch right now, there's trailers on GameTrailers.com or on YouTube, wherever, non-TV.
Mm-hmm. Non-TV.
And you could look at Resident Evil Mercenaries. That game looks like Resident Evil 5 for the modern consoles on the handheld. It's amazing.
Nice.
So it's graphics potential through the roof. You can, of course, slide it all the way down, keep it on 2D mode if you want to.
Yep.
There are some games that you want to do that with. There are some games that would probably be slower paced, like RPGs, where the 3D would actually be fine because you're not you know, frantically trying to pull off a combo and then fucking up the 3D view.
Yeah.
So like, so for certain more action-y games, you might want to just forgo the 3D. Hmm. And I think that's kind of sad because that's their biggest draw to this. It's the 3DS, not the 2DS.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is like, you know, 3D without glasses has been the selling feature, but it's not the best feature on the system. I think some of the coolest features are not only its graphics capability, but its front-facing camera and its the two other cameras that are facing the opposite direction. They are pretty wild because there are these things called like AR games, alternate reality games.
I've heard a little bit about this.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil this for you actually because you haven't tried this yet, but it basically, it interacts with cards on your table and it tracks in 3D the animations that arise from the card and you can manipulate the reality of the of what it's showing you. It's pretty cool.
Sounds cool.
Plus, they have this thing called Face Raiders, where
I've seen that.
It takes a picture of your face, and you actually have to fight your face off with like tennis balls and stuff.
And it shows you like the background is the camera,
right?
The camera view. The it just shows things appearing in your room.
In your room, and ripping like the wall comes apart, and
crazy.
Like different. It's wild. So that's pretty cool. Don't even have to play it in 3D. I would suggest not, actually, because those are all highly intensely moving.
Yeah, that'd be almost impossible.
I would never try those
without the headgear.
Without the headgear attachment that they need to make, obviously.
Obviously.
But so I'm impressed with a lot of the features, mostly impressed with the non-3D features. Although, when you've hit the sweet spot with it, it is very cool that it can do that.
Yeah.
Without glasses. It's totally a bitchin' effect. Mm. It's just that the magic is broken at the drop of a hat. And when you're trying to suspend your disbelief in any kind of fictional medium, when something jars you like that, totally ruins it. So it's almost its Achilles heel, in my opinion, so far.
Yeah, I could see that, and people were afraid that was going to be the issue. So
I think it's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem.
And another small add-on to that is that if you don't have two eyes, you can't see it in 3D. I'm not making a joke.
Oh, my God. No! Offending the handicap.
No! I'm not trying
If you're a pirate, you're not going to be able to play it, Yar!
Oh, did you see the new 3D movie on the 3DS? It was rated R. I'm sorry. And that R was brought to you by 3D technology without glasses. I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but the 3D effect is not perfect for me because I have glasses. Like one of my left eye is better than my right eye. And you know,
it's bionic,
right? It's the cybernetic thing Jordy got for First Contact.
Sure.
It's called the First Contacts.
They're expensive, though. You could only afford one.
Right. I could only afford one. I'm making payments towards the X.
Layaway.
Yeah, layaway. My right eye is in layaway right now. And so I'm having a real hard time. No, this is a real observation, actually a physical one with my eye. If one of your eyes is slightly sharper and more acute than the other, the 3D effect kind of gets skewed because it's sending different images to different eyes, basically is how it works.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, your left eye seeing one thing, your right seeing the other, and that's how you get the pop effect. And that's also why there is a visual degradation to the image, because like half the pixels are dedicated to one eye, half are dedicated to the other. And, you know, that's why like in Super Street Fighter 4, you get 30 frames per second with 3D on, 60 frames per second with 3D off.
Nice.
So there's a split in what information is hitting one eye and the other. And if both eyes aren't on par, then there's an odd, you know, off balance, I would call it. Kind of dizzying effect, I would say, to the 3D because
interesting.
You've got this, you know how when you have a head cold, your equilibrium gets fucked up?
I know all about it.
Okay, well, it's that way in a visual way. It's that visual kind of disorientation. And I kind of have to find myself having to, like, splash water in my eyes and blink and like, wash my glasses off. And then, like, when I'm prepared to view it, I then have to adjust the slider and then adjust where it is.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It's almost depressing.
You have to keep it strapped to your head and have perfect vision to play it.
To really feel like you're getting the fullness of it.
It doesn't seem like a viable way to play a game.
You'll try it later. You'll probably love it. But this is my... Because I'm kind of anal about getting the best experience, right?
Okay.
When I buy a product, I want it to perform optimum.
But my speech, however, I don't give a shit.
I don't care how the fuck I pronounce things at all. But yeah, you get where I'm going even though I can't pronounce words now. And the 3DS, I feel like I have to go through hoops to get to that level.
Yeah.
And then I'm not in the mood to enjoy a game at that point. I'm so irritated that I've had to go through this in order to enjoy it. It's like discourages me from playing. That and the fact that the launch titles right now suck. So Peter Street's official review of the 3DS, or at least my suggestion, is that you invest in it, but do so. I would say it's not worth investing in now. I think down the road, once some software hits that really takes advantage of all of the what the system can do, then it's going to be a really good platform. Even if you threw the 3D out entirely, I think it's a good platform.
Yeah.
However, right now, I would say skip the 3DS.
Wow.
Yeah, don't get it.
That might be the first time I've ever heard you say skip a Nintendo console.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought I would love it, and I kind of despise it a little bit. I think that it's going to be great, but I think that right now I just spent like $300 on a system that I'm not having a lot of fun with. So
bitter taste.
Wait until there's a really amazing killer game and maybe the price has gone down $50.
Yeah.
And then sure, you know, jump on board. But for now, I mean, you've got a bunch of bloatware and a bunch of tech demos, and that's
about
it.
Don't have Kid Icarus. Where's Kid Icarus, man?
They needed Kid Icarus. They need something, because right now there is, you know, a fighting game, which I'm not big into that genre, and then there's Pilot Wings and like a pet sim and one of the worst football games ever and some submarine game that sucks.
Those sound bad. I like Pilot Wings myself, but
I do too. I've had the most fun with Pilot Wings as a game.
Okay.
I've actually had the most fun with the stuff included in the system.
Oh,
so if you buy it, you may not want to buy a game with it because it's got the software included has entertained me way more than the two games I bought.
Huh. Okay.
So that's what I've been doing, as well as going, getting drunk and singing karaoke with a bunch of gay friends.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a cast, actually. My voice is totally gone now.
Yeah.
You probably hear it fading.
Yeah.
Fading fast.
Fading fast. We should get this Don's Corner, the Staffa Corner.
Oh, okay. Well, you can read it.
All right. Staffa, you bastard. You want me to do this in the likeness of Rodney King?
Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, Rodney Dangerfield. You son of a bitch. All right, here we go. This is Staffa's Corner, everybody. Staffa posted once on our forums. And
don't we need music for this? Isn't Aaron's traditional Staffa's Corner?
Staffa's Corner!
Isn't that traditional?
Yeah, sure. Right. We just coined it. Dear Blue Yonder. Oh, God.
That's a bad way to start, man.
I don't get no... I'm going to have to practice a little bit. Rodney Dangerfield was like, I don't get no respect.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. Well, I'm probably in the minority when it comes to this, but within the last few years, I've been noticing that most males and females of video games have identical or near-identical heights, and this somewhat bugs me. I'm not saying it annoys
you
me.
You need to sound fatter. You need to get more cheek motion in there.
I'm not saying it annoys me.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that good?
That's good.
I'm not saying it annoys me, but I'm playing a game in which I'm a heroic man character who's a physical champion
And then a cutscene is talking to a woman, and she's practically the same height.
It feels like I'm listening to a cross between Christopher Walken, Boss Nass, and Rodney Dangerfield.
You ask for it, you're gonna get it.
I start thinking, is she some Amazon woman, or is my dude just that short? God, this is a long email.
Yeah, it is.
For example, within the past year, I played Prince of Persia 2008 and Prince of Persia: The Forgotten Sands.
How many goddamn Prince of Persia games have you been playing, Stoffer? Come on, there's more to life.
Although your peas are pretty good for a fat cheek.
God,
man.
Thank God I have this pop shield.
In both games, you're playing an athletic male who's overcome all odds, and in both games, there is a female character who's exactly the same height. I get no respect. What I don't get is why this is so common in so many games. I'm not saying women can't be tall, but in general, the average woman is shorter than the average male. I guess a related issue is when everyone in the game is exactly the same height, but that's due to technical issues and memory. Is this something that you guys take notice while playing, or does it matter to you? Staffa.
All right. Well, that's by far the most respectable accent we've done.
I got some respect.
I think you get some respect there.
Thanks.
Which actually nullifies it and makes it a terrible accent because you're getting respect. You're not supposed to get no respect.
Fuck. I'm not supposed to get no respect.
Nope. I kind of have to agree with him here.
You agree?
Like, how often do you see, even in a game where there are a vast number of characters, the female characters being much, if any, shorter than male
characters? Here's the thing with my perspective on it. Like, why does a heroic male have to be, like, super tall?
He doesn't.
That's not necessary, is it?
No. No, look at Jet Li.
Oh, yeah.
Jet Li's a badass, and he's super short.
And we've done Human Champions time and time again. Human Champion number one, our 3C badass, is a relatively short guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's not relatively short. Oh, he's taller than me.
He's taller than you, but you're kind of on the short end of the stick.
But I know I'm roughly average, right? I mean, it's not... Yeah. 5'9" is not...
You know what? And I've seen Staffa in real life, and he's about your size.
Is he?
So maybe it's because he is a little inadequate when it comes to his...
Calling Staffa out on the air. Doesn't he do MMA? Or is that his brother?
Staffa?
Yeah, is that his brother?
I think it's his brother.
Okay. Well, he's probably picked up a few tricks. I'd watch out, man.
He doesn't know where I live.
Okay. Good.
So anyway... Staffa, from the safety of the bald tower,
yeah.
I will call you out and say, I think that you dig that element of the fantasy because it's not reality, right? When you go to something that's a fantastical world or a heroic world, you want to kind of escape from the everyday a little bit. And if you're a short, shriveled guy... who does nothing but write emails where other people have to make stupid ass fools of themselves in front of millions of listeners, which we literally have.
You're going to get reverse Kimura the minute you step outside.
It's a good thing I zombie draft Fedor, although he's lost the last couple fights. I'm just saying, when you have that kind of lifestyle, hunched over a monitor, feverishly thinking of the next demonic email you're going to send to these people, then, you know, not only do you have pale skin, but you're also very short. So naturally, when you go
to... add anything else in?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you go to play a heroic physical champion, quote-unquote, I'm quoting the email again.
Sure.
I think you probably want your heroic male character to dominate the scenery and be towering above all the... You know, the females and probably the other males, too, in his mind. But I have kind of noticed, like in Dragon Age 2, I've been playing as well, that you can pick female or male character, and they're about the same height.
Well, see, I don't have a problem with it if it's like there are one or two characters who are of the same height. Okay, well, I know tons of girls who are taller than me. That's not a problem. But on average, it's a biological fact that most women are shorter than males, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't think it's sexist to say that.
Absolutely not. No, it's a fact. How can a fact be sexist?
How can reality be sexist?
Exactly.
Physical reality.
So on average, shouldn't the people in games reflect? I mean, I guess if you're in a
unless
fantasy
it's a
world,
strange fantasy location where yeah. maybe those rules don't apply.
Sure, and I can get behind that. Like, and if I'm in World of Warcraft, I don't expect all my female orcs to be shorter than my female sure. or my male orcs.
Then again, the Don is mentioning the Prince of Persia games, which, while those are fantasy, they're still taking place on Earth, right?
As far as I know.
As far as I know. Yeah. I've not really played those games. Yeah. I'm not into that series, but... as far as I know, that's the Earth, and I would say it's a non-sexist, true observation to say on average, males are taller than females.
So that should be reflected in the game, right?
Nevertheless, why does it have to be? I think the only time I would agree with him is if it was annoyingly the case that they were all the same exact height and they just re-skinned the textures of a model. That's developer laziness more that would irritate me than just the simple fact that my dominating male hero isn't, you know, towering above the ladies.
See, it's not something that annoys me. It's just something that it's an inaccuracy in a world that is weird.
Yeah, a technical discrepancy in the world, which is another thing that can validly pull you out of your suspension of disbelief.
And apparently it does for the Don.
And it does for the Don. Not so much me. I've noticed it like once or twice, but truly the only thing that really I could speak to is at the end he mentions back in the day with technical issues of memory. You know, Final Fantasy comes to mind.
Yeah.
Where they were all super deformed squat characters with a set pixel height. Because, you know, they had limited memory to deal with.
They're going to make them one pixel smaller. Yeah. That'd be ridiculous.
Which actually has a little bit of charm to it and a little bit of retro charm to it nowadays. Yeah. But no excuse for it now. You should have varying heights. I don't think you should have a sterile height cap on your 3D character models.
Yeah, like if you have the ability to customize your character in a game, I think you should be able to customize height by default.
Yeah, totally.
Like, so, I can make my 5'2" male. I can make my 6'8" female.
I must say that I guess his original point is that he's noticed that in a lot of games, but, dude, all you're playing's Prince of Persia, so maybe you could try a different game.
Yeah.
It won't be like, I don't know. I haven't really noticed that a lot.
I've never noticed it, and now that he says it, I guess...
I'm probably going to keep an eye out for it now.
But it won't bother me. It's not like something that I worry about.
It's not like George Lucas. I'm not going to tear my heart out.
Nope, not at all. Okay, that's it, man. My voice is shot.
Okay.
I got to get to editing.
Do
this
we
thing
need
so
an outro
sleep.
Since we have an intro?
We're going to give them an outro and an intro. An outroduction.
We're gonna give them it twice. Two times.
Two times.
All right, you start.
Outroduction. Here it comes. we are not going to do an outroduction.
Okay, no outro.
Nope, this is the end of the show.
All right.
With that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I am Peter Street.
Ciao.
Ciao.